Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 547, San Diego Comic-Con 2016 recap, recorded live on July 28th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And I am back from San Diego Comic-Con, here to talk about some of the Halo Wars 2 and Comic-Con exclusive stuff that went on. And GT's been around still, holding down the fort with game nights and whatnot. So it's good to be back behind the microphone once again and still a podcast behind on release.
Well, you did manage.
Yes, I did manage to post the post-RTX one, so that one's at least out now.
That was a good one. I liked it.
That was a good one. The next one, though, that one's long. That one is our community discussion one. That's a doozy, but I am a third of the way through editing that one, and that one's a little easier to edit because I did a majority of the talking.
Thanks, Dust.
Are you
trying to say something
about that? No, no. Well, saying something of the fact that I was running my mouth that night. So no, well, nothing against you.
You had a lot of things you wanted to get off your chest, and you did.
Yeah, it'll probably happen again, like it always does, because that's just kind of how the community rolls. They like to be dramatic and all that fun stuff. I tempered the words there right before I said them.
Yeah, we don't need to get that discussion started.
True confessions. Yeah. So this past weekend was San Diego Comic-Con, and it was pretty fun. It was one of those conventions where I'm starting to get to this point with conventions that it's kind of, I'm kind of taking them a little bit easier and not having to worry about getting to every single thing. And actually accidentally missed something that I wanted to go to. Yeah, it was, sorry for a fifth. They had a panel, and it was their first panel at San Diego, and for some reason I thought it was going to be a Saturday panel, and it was a Friday panel. So by the time I got the notification, we were already on the way back to the hotel, and it's like, well, we're going to miss that one. That's too bad.
Well, maybe they recorded it.
I hope they did, because with it being their first panel, and I've been to the 405th panels that have been at PAX East. I don't recall there being anything else either at RTX or PAX Prime before. Maybe RTX has had one. I don't remember. But that would have been a really cool one to go to because the Pacific Division for the 405th is the big one. That's the one that's kind of the most well-known and whenever they're in productions or shots or whatever. So if anyone's a watcher of Red vs. Blue, the one that did the live action, that was the Pacific Division of the 405th. With a splattering of other regiments. I think the Southern maybe had a couple in there, and maybe the Central. But most of the time, whenever you see kind of the big premiere pictures, it's usually the Pacific Division. So I was sad that I missed that one. And I do hope that they recorded it because it'd be cool to watch it. Minus the fact that I still haven't released their videos from last year of them playing Arena. Real Life Arena.
Might be something you need to get on.
So, sad story. My gaming laptop, which I usually take with me, and is my workhorse laptop so I can do photo editing and video editing and podcast editing on the go, decided to be difficult and freeze up after about 3 minutes of being on. So, I'm pretty sure that computer is kaput.
Ooh. Hopefully your information's on a storage drive.
Well, I can still access all the information. The disks aren't corrupt or anything, so I could definitely everything into another computer and pull stuff off of it if I need to. But I've run that thing into the ground, and I've had that laptop since I want to say 2012. It was a 2011 or 2010 model, so it's a 6-year-old laptop at least. It's due for an upgrade, and I've just been stalling because I've been spending my money on other things like Halo 5 and Halo 5 Limited Collector's Edition and Halo 5 console and Halo 5 this, Halo 5 that. Yeah, new desktop. But it is time to get that laptop replaced. So it's just the time has come and I just need to do it. So I'm not sure when I'm going to get it. I don't know if I'm going to actually look at buying it before I go to PAX West. I think I'll have the funds to do it, but it's something I haven't quite figured out yet. Speaking of which, I got paid today. I need to check my bank account.
Woo!
Yeah, I get paid on Thursdays. So that's nice. But yeah, enough rambling about my broken laptop. San Diego Comic-Con. We got to see a little bit more info regarding Halo Wars 2. There was a panel on Friday that was Kiki Wolfkill, Frank O'Connor, Kevin Grace, Erica Soto, which is the voice actress for the new AI in Halo Wars. One of the guys from Blur Studios, I am blanking on his name, and Dan Ayoub.
I had it until you said it. Anyway, the person from Blur also headed up the creation of the original Halo Wars cinematics. So he's got some experience.
Well, he's pretty much been around since Blur got involved with the Halo cinematics, I think.
Yeah, it was a really informative panel on the Halo Wars 2 stuff, but just in kind of the Halo lifestyle, or not lifestyle.
Dave Wilson. Dave Wilson is the Blur Studios guy.
But yeah, I was actually floorboarded when it showed up on YouTube. Last time, I think it was a month before they actually got it up on YouTube. You know, I had to basically watch pieces of it that people recorded with their video cameras because they'd only put it up in sections.
You talking about the one from last year or a different Halo panel?
Well, last time they had a panel at Comic-Con.
So last year.
Yeah, I think it was last year or year before. But anyway, it just took forever for him to get the whole panel up on the tubes. And I was really surprised to see it show up as quick as it did. I was happy. Very happy.
They did put out a tweet whenever they, I think right before the panel, or maybe during, or maybe just after it, saying that they were going to post the video of the panel a week after the panel was done. So they actually beat that and actually did it within a week. So that's good.
Yeah, I like how they conveniently cut out the one video I actually wanted to watch.
Yep, the exclusive.
Jerks.
It was, oh my gosh.
Yes, I watched it. Somebody recorded it on their phone. Not great quality, don't get me wrong. I would sure rather have seen it produced, or, you know, in an actual produced video, not, you know, cell phone recording. But
well, you'll get to see it when it comes out.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to it. From what they've told about the story, it sounds like it's going to be a really interesting story. I'm really curious to learn about the Banished and to see the crew of the Spirit of Fire kind of catch up on the last 28 years of life, on what they've missed and how this ties into, what was the name of that ship? The one in Primordium? No. Yeah, Primordium, that 343 Guilty Spark took. But I don't know.
It's been a while since I've read that book, so I'm kind of lost on what you're trying to get at. Sorry. Well,
there's in Silentium, it's basically 343 Guilty Spark's story is the main focus of it.
You mean Primordium?
Let's see, yeah.
Cryptum, I thought Primordium was...
Cryptum, Primordium, and then Silentium, right? Yeah, Cryptum's where they wake the Didact. Primordium is Chakas' story, which turns out to be...
Oh, Guilty on the Spark. Halo. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And then... But at the end of Primordium, 343 Guilty Spark steals the ship that he's on to go find, I think, to find the Librarian, if I remember correctly. But I think that's the ship that this AI is off of, or at least the ship that brought the AI to the Ark. I'm not for sure on that because they haven't really given a lot of details. But that was kind of plays into Hunters in the Dark as well. So I think this is after Hunters in the Dark. So that may not be true. but maybe they'll work it in there somewhere. I don't know.
Gotcha. Eric Kubu says he hijacks the Oni ship. So
yeah, what was the name of the Oni ship?
I can pull out the book. It's right on my bookshelf. Eric Kubu, get on that. We'll come back to it.
Yeah,
anyway, if he finds
it's not. It's not really important because I don't think it's going to play into the game. But it would be nice if just they give us a little bit more on that particular part of that story. I don't think they will, though. Rubicon, yes.
There you go.
I'm going to see Rubicon.
Raikou and Pins, right up in that. We got some people on top of it tonight, which is awesome.
Yay!
So yeah, we had the Halo Wars 2 panel and that cutscene, which is one of the very first cutscenes in Halo Wars 2, was just like jaw-droppingly awesome.
Yes.
The fear that Aatrox just strikes in the Spartans and just treats them like toys.
I know.
Was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome and scary at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about the story in Halo Wars 2 over the story in Halo 5.
Well, that's
not saying much, I know, but still.
But fighting Aatrox on Legendary is going to be interesting because the way they're portraying him is that he's extremely strong, obviously, to take down three Spartans, but he's intelligent. So it may take a pretty sharp mind to figure out the Legendary strategy quickly.
Like Captain Cutter, a cunning strategist?
Yeah, well, I meant, you as the player beating Aatrox.
True.
Cutter, I have no doubt, could do it, but, like me, I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of failed missions.
Yeah.
Because I noticed even in the original Halo Wars, when I kicked it up to Legendary, the stuff that worked on the lower difficulties didn't work as well as it did. I had to come up with new strategies.
Yeah. I don't remember if I actually finished Halo Wars on Legendary. I think there's an achievement for that, and I don't know if I have it yet.
It was a pain. The escape from Arcadia was probably the one that challenged me the most. Just that first part, the first, 5 minutes of the mission while you're building up your army and getting your base built and everything. Those hunters just come in and wreck my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in seeing what the AI does on the Legendary difficulty, and especially how the other leaders play out in multiplayer.
Yeah, and there's going to be a total of 9 leaders, they said, while there are only 6 shown in the beta. They have a planned total of 9.
I think they said it's going to release with 6, and then the other 3 are going to come in as DLC.
Possibly.
I know they said there's going to be some leaders that are DLC. I just don't know how many.
Yep.
As well as a DLC campaign.
Can't wait to see. Yeah, that. Which will be awesome. I wonder if it's going to be something like Spartan Ops type of thing, where it kind of does expand upon the story of the actual campaign, or if it's going to be something additional to the side of the main story.
Yeah. I've heard a couple of different theories. One of them, a Spartan Ops like campaign add-on, but I'm almost kind of hoping it's the other theory I've been hearing, which is you play from Aatrox's side.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I think they did talk about that a little bit during the panel on Friday at San Diego Comic-Con. There were actually some good questions asked by the people in line. There's usually a set of people that ask the really obvious questions. And there actually was one question that was kind of an obvious question. But other than that, the questions that were asked were pretty good. Granted, there were only, I think, 10 minutes or so for people to ask questions. But nonetheless, they were actually good questions. And one of the questions, which actually tweeted out kind of the response to and actually got quite a bit of interaction on Twitter, was someone asked if Prometheans or Flood or like other factions other than Covenant would be playable as a leader. And I think they called out Prometheus specifically. And Kevin Grace answered it, and he answered it in such a way where it almost sounds like the possibility of actually playing as a Promethean leader is very likely, is possible. Of course, it's the typical PR answer. It's like, well, it's a good idea. Can't really say much, but it's a good idea.
It's a really good idea, but we're not talking about that right now.
Right, pretty much.
Yeah, their favorite answers.
And actually, the panel was a lot more geared towards kind of the production of the cinematics. There was a little bit of discussion about the lore and the story that's going to be coming with Halo Wars 2. Some of it we've already heard about from E3 and RTX, and some of it's a little new. So the AI that we got introduced to...
Isabella?
Yes. We got our first introduction to her, and then the voice actress playing her, Erica Soto.
Well, I think you can pretty much just call her an actress because they used her image to create the AI.
Fair point.
So, anyway, I like what they've done with her as far as the AI character. It will bring a much different look into AI than we've had before. She's a logistics AI. She's not a military AI. She doesn't have the training programming, training, whatever you want to call it, of warfare. Her job is, her job is just to manage supplies. Make sure the fuel tanks are food full. Make sure that the people have food. That the different supplies get to where they need to be. And it sounds like she's going to go through kind of being this very timid, scared character at the very beginning, to almost being a vengeful character towards the end.
Yeah, I can see that, and it depends on how she grows throughout the throughout the campaign too. She's not exactly a smart AI in terms of like BB and Cortana.
No, yes, she is.
Is she?
Yeah, they've stated she is a smart AI.
But like, she's just weren't BB geared... and Cortana on a like there is smart AI, but like.
They are military AI. There's a distinction there.
Gotcha.
To a point, she is a military AI, but she was designed to be in charge of logistics. She's not designed to handle a battle fleet or a starship or Mjolnir armor. She just wasn't programmed with that information. Now, that doesn't mean she can't access the information and incorporate it into her... into her subroutines, and we'll probably see some of that during the course of the campaign. It's just, I find that, the way they were talking about her, that it does sound like she's going to go through this change. And it's, I think if they do it correctly, it's going to be a really well-developed character, a lot better than we've seen in current versions of the games. Sounds like we're going to actually get backstory on these characters.
Yay.
Some explanation of why they are where they are. And hopefully it'll expand on some of the Halo 5 story.
I don't know. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to, is how it integrates in with Halo 5.
Yeah, I'm also wondering how much of the created story they're going to bring into that. With Cortana, I don't know that they're going to focus on that much, but you'd think she would know about it, but, I mean, they are on the Ark, which is a long way from any civilized or any human civilization, so they could not know that, or she could not know that.
It could be one of those things where she just didn't assume that the Ark or anything out that far was really a concern.
Yeah.
And I think, within the universe, I'm not sure if... the UNSC or the Covenant know exactly where the Ark is in the galaxy. I mean, I think we know.
Cortana knows.
Yeah, but I don't know. It would make sense that if something out that far might not be her concern.
Possibly. It kind of all depends on which way they go with her story. But, that's separate from Halo Wars.
And we'll have to see how that turns out for the game. And see where it does. Because I have a feeling there's going to be some tie-in. I don't think there can't not be a tie-in to Halo 5 somehow, just because of how closely it is in proximity time-wise to the timeline of Halo 5.
I want somebody to answer this question. How the heck does Captain Cutter have a beard now if he's been in suspended animation for the last 28 years?
Well, I mean, stuff still happens in cryo. It just happens very, very, very slowly.
Well, if that's true, then Professor Anders' hair should be like around our ankles.
I don't know.
I just found it interesting that they made that change. You know, another on the AI situation, what happened to Serena? That's a really good question. I can't wait to figure or find that one out.
So there were a couple of theories some people were discussing after the panel of maybe she did go rampant and she left a subroutine behind because she knew she was going rampant and maybe just like committed AI suicide or some other explanation that we haven't been privy to yet. Maybe she is still around in some way.
Serena's basically self-destructed herself because, you know, just because of what happens. You know, there's no doubt that she could have stretched herself to 10 years or something like that, but I just really don't think they could have, you know, that she would have been able to stretch herself, you know, almost 30 years.
Well, the only way I think that could possibly even happen, and granted, this is just making stuff up and making assumptions, is to put herself in such a low power state where she really couldn't think herself to death as quickly.
It's possible. It'll be interesting to see what they do and how they address that.
Like basically move herself to offline storage, except for maybe some critical elements of herself, and then just run in like the lowest power mode that she can without basically turning herself off. That's my theory. Or my probable theory as in to how she could have survived if she did. And now we got our little run of theories going on in the chat about how the Spirit of Fire even got to the Ark.
Yeah. Well, it could be that, you know, one of the theories is the shield world they left was not that far from the Ark. But according to which was it? Hunters in the Dark at slip space velocities, the Ark was 6 months away. No, it was, something like that. So, I don't know. It could be, you know, quite a ways away from where they left off. It's because we have no idea how fast they were actually traveling, and we don't know how far they actually traveled. So it's kind of hard to do the math. It's interesting that they wound up at the Ark, though.
Yeah, it is.
No matter how far it is, that's a pretty good trajectory to not come close to anything on the way. I mean, space is it. There's a lot of empty area in space. But to have basically your ship coasting off your momentum from when you left the planet and not encounter a gravitational field or anything that would slow you, or pull you into any kind of orbit of a solar system. That's really weird.
Someone's got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think you are right, and I think the chat's kind of onto something where there's probably some kind of explanation as to how they even got there in the first place.
Yeah, I hope there is. And it's not they just coasted for 28 years in a straight line.
But then again, will we even find out how that happened? Because the only person that might be able to tell, well, unless the ship was keeping logs at the time, if it was in the state to actually keep logs, like navigation logs of where they were going, which a lot of their systems were damaged on the way out, so who knows what kind of systems are actually up and operational. But unless that's around, the only thing that would have been able to tell them where they actually were or how they even got to where they were is Serena, and as far as we know, she's not around anymore. So there has to be some kind of slip space, something or other involved, I would think.
Yeah.
Anyways, the chat seems pretty logical on that, and I would lean towards agreeing with them on that.
Yeah, you know, they're citing, you know, several AI that have lived longer than the 7 years, and I'm not saying that they can't live longer than 7 years. That is an artificial number that the UNSC puts on their AI to take them out of service before they go rampant. You know, there are multiple AIs that are, you know, 9, 10, 13 years old, but you know, Juliana, which was 13 years old, she was kind of nuts. I mean, she still had, she was taking her job of protecting the rubble. And this is from, oh shoot, what was the name of that book?
Saint's Testimony?
No, the Cole Protocol. She got into the point where about the only thing that was keeping her function was the job of keeping the rubble safe. She was to the point where she actually worked, you know, the rubble was an insurrectionist base, but she worked with UNSC and Spartans against them to save the rubble. Well, to attempt to save the rubble. So she was definitely very eccentric.
You're just proving to me how much I'm forgetting of these novels and how much I need to go back and read them all.
Nice thing about having them on audiobook, I can just listen to them on the way to work over and over again. Yeah, I need to find a better way to do it. But no, I really enjoy listening to them. It's a lot of fun because even as many times as I've listened to them, every time I listen to them, I hear something different in the text. It makes me think of something a little different way. It didn't generally change my whole perception, but it's like, well, what if he means this and not this? It, you know, as I thought before. So it's kind of a fun exercise to just listen to him.
Nice.
So that part will be interesting. The initial, well, they showed a little bit of the first mission, which I got to admit, I like the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the first mission, we actually, at E3, got to see it in full. They actually did a live demo of it, and that was when
the build crashed.
Not this time. Yeah, Dan made that joke to me whenever I saw him after the panel. It's like, yeah, at least you didn't crash the presentation this time. So, the first mission is actually a nice, good introduction to some of the new stuff, and it does a pretty good job of roping in people that are new to the RTS to actually getting used to it. So it does a pretty good job starting out, I think. And it's a good, nice, slow introduction into the Covenant and the enemy Covenant unit types and new stuff in there as well. So it's a good balance. But yeah, the first mission in there is actually pretty good.
You know, I like because you recorded the audio, we could kind of hear the dialogue. I like the way it sounds. And from the little snippets of gameplay that they've shown, it looks like it's going to be a really complete story so far. Now, once we get into the second, third, and fourth, we'll find out how good it is. But so far, it looks good. The first mission, it seems like a very good introduction to this part of the universe. Now, granted, the opening cutscene is going to make all the difference in the world on how you perceive the game, because you've got a lot of catching up to do, just like they do, to kind of get caught up on what's really, you know, what's been happening with the Spirit of Fire for the last 28 years. So that opening cutscene, I'm salivating, just waiting to see it.
Well, we didn't even get to see the opening cutscene for that mission. It was just they went straight into the mission. And then the cutscene that we saw at the panel at San Diego Comic-Con, that wasn't... I think that's after. I think that's probably like maybe after the first or second mission.
What they've showed so far, it looks really good. There's a lot of information in them.
Yeah, and from the cutscenes, at least the little bits that we've seen so far, it's blur. And it just looks absolutely stunning. When a CGI character can just strike that much fear into you, like they did with Atriox beating up those Spartans and just treating them like ragdolls, it's pretty convincingly good. That was one of those moments where I'm like, I was looking to people around me, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, there's nowhere in the Halo universe where you see a Spartan get their butt kicked so completely.
Nope.
By an enemy. Now, each other, yes, but not by an enemy. You know, he totally owns them.
Doesn't even care. And then he has them leave, thinking smart, so his brutes can go track where they came from instead of just outright killing them. A brute with not just bronze, but brains. Dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. If anyone in the chat was able to claim the supply rec pack code that I put in there, please let me know so I can cross it off my list of available codes. That'd be appreciated. One of the perks of being in here on
Eric,
Thursday
you
really nights.
Count black team, that is a bunch of bull.
What else did they talk about during the panel? They did talk about Isabel's character and the process of Erica, who this was her first time doing any kind of motion capture. So
it was the first
she
time in
about,
the Halo universe too.
Huh?
It was her first venture into the Halo universe.
Oh,
as well.
Yes. Sorry. I thought you said it's the first time in the Halo universe. I'm like, they've done motion capture before.
No. It was her first time in the Halo universe.
Yes.
She, talked about how she would study YouTube to kind of learn the story of Halo. And I'm sure she did read some of the books and things like that. But the first thing that pops in my head is, I wonder how many Halo Canon videos she watched.
I was kind of thinking that too. Because if there's anything that's going to really catch her up on the story, I think Ian's videos is probably a go-to. I wouldn't be surprised if Unishek's 15 minutes of campaign would have possibly been one of those ones as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good lore content out there. But I'm just saying, the first thing that popped in my head was Halo Canon.
Well, one of the reasons is because we know of Halo Canon for doing the lore stuff. I don't know how prominent his videos are just from a general search on YouTube for that content, since I regularly search for Halo content and his video, like I'm subscribed to his channel. I think his stuff pops up more for me than it would for a normal user. So I just don't know from a analytics or a search engine standpoint how that might happen. But I would hope that with how much effort Ian puts into his videos, that those would be some of the ones that do pop up front. So I would hope so, at least. But yeah, so her first foray into Halo and her first time doing motion capture. So two kind of big things for the most part being introduced into a different side of, I guess, the recording industry or acting industry. So it'll be cool to actually see how that process goes. And I'm assuming there's going to be Vidocs probably further down the road with her in them.
Well, there's already one out there.
Well, yeah, but I think there might be more. I have a feeling there might be more.
That is one thing I would like them, like 343, just to do in general, is more Vidocs. Don't really tell us about the story, but tell us what you do to make the game. Introduce new characters or something, occasionally, like they did with the Brutes, like Bungie did with the Brutes. I would like to see more of that kind of stuff.
And as far as what we've seen from the Vidoc stuff with, what was it, the Sprint for Halo 5? We got to see a lot of technical detail go into how the game was made. I don't know if they'll do something quite as extensive for Halo Wars, but I do hope there's some kind of Vidoc series that comes out during the lead up to the release, kind of showing the overall development. Because if you think about it, Halo Wars 2 is kind of entering in a different era of time in gaming that Halo Wars was kind of brought up in. So there is quite a bit of difference in probably how they're creating the game, some different considerations for making the story. And because they're creating the game for both Windows and Xbox, the whole mindset of having to account for those different platforms. And then in addition, you have the normal stuff like the story and the character design and the art design and all that stuff. But I would like to see a solid library of Vidocs that dives into the development of Halo Wars 2.
Yes.
It'd be cool. And then obviously we got a little bit of a taste behind the Blur process. And we've seen Blur do a lot of cool stuff with Halo before. And we've seen a lot of behind the scenes stuff. We got, I think one of the Sprint episodes was heavily focused on Blur from the aspect of recording the motion capture and running it through the processes of actually generating it out. So we've had blur be the focus of some stuff before, but Dave Wilson, who was the representative from Blur, I don't remember. Did he say he was like one of the like really early on people or one of the co-founders or something like that?
I don't know if he ever said that. All I ever heard that is that
I can't remember
in charge of the original cinematics for Halo Wars, the first one.
Right. And that was the first time Blur ever did anything with Halo.
Right. And ever since then, he's been involved with the, you know, the Halo franchise for the cinematics.
Okay.
You know, I like the comment Dan IU made. It's just, you know, there's no more, who are we going to get to do the cinematics? We just pick up the phone and call Blur.
Right.
Good choice.
And it delivers every time.
Oh, yeah. I have yet to not be impressed with anything they've done.
So they've done Blur for Halo Wars, Halo 2 Anniversary, and Halo 5, right? Those are the only Halo games they've done so far. Because Halo 4 was an engine, Halo Reach was an engine, MCC Anniversary, or Halo 1 Anniversary was...
Who did the terminals for Halo 4?
Oh, they did the terminals. That was it. Yep.
Yeah.
Is it? No, wait, wait, wait. No, wait, was it?
No.
Yes. Because the terminals were the motion animation.
Right. So, yeah, that's right. Halo Wars.
Talking about in-game assets, Eric Yabu.
The cutscenes for, I think they did the cutscenes for Halo 4, didn't they?
No, those were in-game. Cutscenes were in-engine.
Well, that's true. Halo 5.
So just three games then.
And then Halo 2 Anniversary.
Right. Okay.
They did all the cutscenes in Halo 2 Anniversary. Yeah.
For some reason, I wanted to think it was 4. But nope. Okay. Cool. So I think for the most part, that covers a lot of the panel stuff. Again, a lot of the new stuff was mostly focused on Erica's new character, Isabella, and the conveniently cut out cutscene from the panel that they showed.
Yes, conveniently.
I haven't seen any shaky cam versions of it, so I don't know if it really does it justice, but you get the sense of just how scary Atriox is in the video if you had a chance to see it and just hear the menacing voice of just no fear and just almost disregard for the Spartans. Just like there's like, oh, what's this? A new enemy? And then at one point, he rips off their helmets and he says, oh, they're only human.
Well, one of their helmets, yeah.
Right.
It's like he's swatting flies with the Spartans.
Yeah, and then he crushes one of the helmets with his bare hand.
Yeah, you're an annoyance. Go away.
Yeah, you're like an ant. Or maybe a cockroach.
Oh, I am so pumped for the cutscenes.
I'm kind of pumped for the story. Just the fact that they're launching off of this story with Atriox just being that powerful and just that much of a, okay, this villain is actually pretty scary. Because Halo 5 didn't do a very good job of portraying the Warden as that hard of an enemy, I think. But just seeing this cutscene for Halo Wars 2, it's like, okay, I really have no idea how we're going to beat this guy. I really don't. That's my viewpoint of it, at least.
Well, I'm pretty much right there with you. It's going to be interesting playing the game. It looks like it's going to be a real challenge to play the game, which is good. It gets you thinking. And it sounds, the way they're marketing this character, it sounds like you're going to have to put your big boy pants on to beat him.
More than big boy pants, you're going to need some big boy pants with suspenders and a helmet and a bunch of other stuff to help you out.
I've already got mine pre-ordered. I can't wait to see it show up on my dashboard.
I believe I have the collector's edition ordered, or the limited edition, whatever it was.
Yeah, I've got the highest tier, the limited edition one, the one that comes with the DLC.
I think I have the physical one, though, not the digital.
Yeah, I just did digital.
I'll get a digital copy of the game anyways.
Now, there may be a physical copy in my future.
Yay.
But right now, we kind of got to watch the pennies. So I got to behave myself.
Yeah. But what's the fun in that?
The fun is having dinner.
Yeah, I guess that's important. And paying the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to have my air conditioning.
That'd be nice. Yeah. All right. Little gift again for the folks in the chat. They gave us some Atriox avatar codes, avatar armor codes, which are new. These are brand new. These are, as far as I know, just kind of like the, because I don't actually have the picture on them and I haven't redeemed one yet, but I'm assuming it's just kind of like the armor with it, and you probably get the hammer, whatever it's called. I forget what it's, the chain something, mace. Chainbreaker. Yeah.
His energy mace.
I forget what they call it. It's chain something. It begins with a C.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm guessing you get like his armor and then his little mace hammer thing with it. But yeah, so we're going to give that one out right now. Again, another little perk if you are part of the stream on Thursdays. So moving right along, some of the other stuff at San Diego Comic-Con that was kind of exclusive was the Dark Horse figure that they do the ships and the exclusive ships. Last year it was all Pelicans. So at San Diego Comic-Con, at PAX West, and then at New York Comic-Con, they had exclusive Pelican figures. They had a Iron one, bronze, I think. They had a gunmetal one, and then they had some other one, I can't remember. Anyways, they had three different ones that were convention exclusives. And so this time around, they actually had a Temple Banshee. So the new gold Banshees that's in Halo 5 Guardians, the nice gold ones, that was the exclusive for Comic-Con this year from Dark Horse. So I managed to pick one of those up. Still waiting for my big box of goodies to actually get here because I had to ship all that stuff from San Diego back home because I forgot to bring a second suitcase to pack stuff in.
Oops.
Yeah. Oops.
That's all right. Ups is probably going to be nicer to the package than the airplane people. But you never know.
Maybe. Right. Right. So we had that. Entertainment Earth had the Toys R Us exclusive Boomco Spiker that was painted with Atriox colors. So it was red and white, and then with orange paint on it, which is funny because that one's out kind of before the normal Spiker is out. So
I may have to go swing by Toys R Us.
Yeah. So funny thing, it was supposed to be, there were rumors that it was going to be a show exclusive, but then Friday during the convention, it went on sale on their website. So turns out it wasn't a con exclusive. So you could just go pick it up at Toys R Us right now if you wanted to. Also, Mattel had their Helios Skrill 6-inch action figure. This is part of their new partnership with Microsoft to do the figures. They're not doing McFarlane anymore. They're doing it through Mattel. So this is their part of their first lineup of figures. They had the Helios Skrill Red Spartan. So I picked up one of those for myself. That's among five other figures, 6-inch figures that they have for this first series. And I took pictures of it. I'll be posting those here probably if trend goes as it's been going, it probably will not be up there for a couple of weeks, but my goal is to try to get it up by next weekend. And Laird linked the Toys R Us link in the chat if you are with us there. So thank you, Laird, for that. And there were some other booths that had some Halo stuff, but nothing that was exclusive specifically to Comic-Con this year. So as far as the exclusives were concerned, the Dark Horse Temple Banshee, the Mattel 6-inch Helios Skrill action figure, and then the not con exclusive Boomco Brute Spiker Atriox edition. So there you go.
Yay! Toys!
Oh. Yes. Oh, and of course, Megablocks had their little figure packs. That was a flamethrower ODST. And we managed to pick up a few of those, and we'll be giving some of those away at some point.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Did anyone claim the Atriox avatar yes, code Ben's yet? Got it. Okay, cool. Awesome. Good job. there was also a signing at the Dark Horse booth on Friday, which I managed to get a poster signed. So we'll be giving that away sometime in the near future. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to give that away, but that will be happening here within the next couple of weeks. And then we actually just gave away 4 unsigned posters. They are the front cover book prints of Tales from Slipspace, the one that's coming out next year. That's a collection of stories similar to Evolutions. So we'll have a few more of those to give away here pretty soon as well. But we already went ahead and gave 4 of those away. And I think I have somewhere like 10 left or so to give away. So there are plenty. Don't worry about it. You still have a chance to get one if you did not attend San Diego Comic-Con, at least. So that's, I think, pretty much all the stuff that I wanted to cover from the San Diego stuff specifically. The Furrow 5th photo shoot was really cool. The meetup was awesome. Dinner was awesome. Batman bought my dinner, basically, for those of you who didn't see my tweet. the host for the Furrow 5th dinner drove up in the original Batmobile. Yes, the original, the one from the movies. And it definitely had a lot of people's attention. He came in a police escort and people were instantly flocking around the car to take pictures. So I can legitimately say that Batman bought my dinner.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. You know you're jealous. So in addition to that, I caught a lot of Pokemon. Yes, I had to bring that up. I've got 81 of my Pokedex filled out now, thanks to the trip. And I actually got to go see the USS Midway with Laird. So I actually stayed with Laird over the weekend. And on Saturday morning, since we didn't have anything to do until the photo shoot with the Furrow 5th on Saturday, we decided to go see the Midway. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is definitely a cool ship. I've obviously never been to California, so I've never toured it, but I've seen video and some pretty detailed photos of it. That would be really cool to go visit.
Yeah. I had issues fitting through. Well, not issues fitting through, but like getting through some of the doors because of ships aren't necessarily built for tall people.
Or wide people.
So
yeah,
I only bumped my head once, thankfully. And it was a very light bump. It wasn't a hard bump.
It wasn't pick yourself up off the floor bump?
No, it was not.
No, that's good. Those bulkheads don't really move.
No. No, they don't. They're notorious for not getting out of the way when they need to. Anyways, that was fun. It was cool being on the flight deck. It was cool going beneath the flight deck and being able to go through. I didn't realize how many messes were on a ship because there were about 5 or 6 on this one. I got to go through laundry, the chapel, the kitchens. There's a barber shop that had posted hours, a mail room, and a few other places too.
Well, it's a floating city, so.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I have been on a ship before. There's the ship in San Antonio that I've been on, but I went on it and didn't really have an appreciation for that kind of stuff at the time. So actually going through this ship was really, really cool. So that was fun. And that kind of wraps up my San Diego experience, so to speak.
It sounds like you had a blast out there.
It was a good time. It was nice and laid back for the most part, but overall, it was a very good time. Did all my purchasing on Thursday, had the panel on Friday for the Halo panel, and then we missed the one for the 405th, which sucks. And then on Saturday, did the Midway, walked around, got Pokemon, got sunburnt, and had the photo shoot for the 405th, and then had dinner, and then a frantic traveling snafu on Sunday trying to reschedule flights and whatnot. But I got home, thankfully. And that was pretty much my San Diego experience. So good stuff. In other news, another Halo-related news, the European summer season finals were this past weekend during San Diego Comic-Con. And the U.S. finals are taking place this weekend. I actually did get invited to go, but I am not going this soon after a trip and having to try to plan travel arrangements a week in advance is pretty expensive. So, yeah, I appreciate the invite, but definitely not going to be out there at the finals.
Well, I can definitely understand that. I've had to book travel on short notice, and yeah, you're right. It is expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah, it's expensive. So that was happening this weekend. If you are interested in watching, we will probably be live tweeting it a little bit. I do not really have much info on what the standings are because I honestly haven't been following it ever since convention season started. So I'm kind of out of the loop, to be honest. But we'll probably be live tweeting it every now and then. I'll probably have the stream on just in the background as things go on. But that is happening. If you are interested, make sure you check it out. It's going to be on Twitch, probably YouTube Gaming, and there's some other streaming service that they stream to as well. I don't remember what it is at the moment, but it will be places where you can watch for sure. That's going to be happening starting Saturday, I believe. Yeah, pretty sure it starts on Saturday. So check it out. Again, on Twitch, YouTube Gaming, and I forget what the third site is that they use. Also, there has been an update to the Master Chief Collection playlists. So they've reordered some of the playlists. They've retuned some of the matching criteria when it comes to skill range matching and some other things as well. So the the MCC crowd is still getting small amounts of updates, but they are throwing a Halo 3 Griffball throwback playlist in there. So that's pretty cool. The OG Griffball for everyone who wants to go and play some classic style Griffball with host advantage and all that fun stuff. Yeah. So yeah, there's content still being updated for Halo Master Chief Collection, which is nice to see. And I think that's it. I think having this podcast be short will be nice. That means it won't be as long to edit for me.
Yeah, once you get caught up to it.
Exactly. So I plan on having the one before Comic-Con up by tomorrow, at least. That way I can get this one up hopefully by Sunday. So we should be all caught up by this weekend, which will be nice. So in the next coming weeks, we're going to be diving a little bit more into some lore stuff. I know I've mentioned before that we wanted to focus on bringing in some book discussions and doing our final overall campaign impressions, since we only got through the campaign about 2 months ago and have since then been inundated with convention news like E3 and RTX, Halo Wars 2 stuff, now Comic-Con. But we have a 5 week, or I guess instead of saying we, I have a 5 week break of conventions before PAX West, which we'll probably find out more about Halo Wars 2, and probably somewhere in the meantime, maybe hear more about the Forge stuff and the content browser and some more Halo 5 stuff. Maybe we'll actually get race in the meantime, which would be cool. But until that time, we have some stuff to catch up on. So definitely doing some lore podcasts. Definitely going to try to get some podcasts with maybe a 343 person on. I've talked to a few people interested in coming on the show to talk about some stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to get a guest on during one of those weeks to discuss some cool things. And then I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and throw the Warzone forging thing that I wanted to have a podcast on for a while. Might throw that one into the mix as well. But we are getting to a point where I can actually schedule podcasts to have a concerted topic to discuss. So that'll be nice to have once again. And if there's anything that you guys are interested in us discussing, I am definitely open to suggestions. And you can hit us up on Twitter or send us an email to our submissions box or hit us up on Facebook. And or you can actually hit us up on Discord as well and join our little chat group that we have and come just kind of hang out with the community. So we are looking for ideas for topics that people would like to hear us discuss. And again, if there are any guests you would like us to get on the show, then we would love to hear what you would like to see. And I do know that we discussed a little while ago of having some pro teams on. So we might work that into the mix after the finals this weekend. I think that might give us some time to actually get some pro people on because they'll be in an off season. I think after the finals, maybe have a couple of weeks off in between having to practice or having to scrim and whatnot. So maybe that'll be a good time to actually get that done. So we might try to get that done next week or the week after, but we'll definitely be doing that at some point. Definitely having lore podcasts and some other scheduled podcasts coming up here pretty soon. The Discord, you can head on over to poddaggler.com/discord. Pretty much if we have it, if you do poddaggler.com/whatever it is, if we have it, it will redirect you. That's just kind of how I get things done. What am I supposed to be answering in here? So if I go to Comic-Con in New York City, who do I report to if there's some stuff that... So I'll be at New York Comic-Con Friday and Saturday. So I'll be reporting on probably anything from there. And there might be something Halo Wars there, but there was nothing Halo related there last year. No, Eric Ibu, we do not have a MySpace. We're adults now. We're on Facebook.
Page not found. Imagine that.
I know, right? So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on the live stream who came on over here and picked up some codes for yourselves. Congratulations to Pins for getting the Atriox armor. And then did someone get the supply rec pack code?
Yes. Let's see who got that. It was Bobby.
Oh, Raikou?
No, Bobby.
Oh, Bobby B444. Okay. He's the guy that I got to meet at PAX East. I remember him. He had his golden hat. At least I think that was him. Didn't you have the golden hat, Bobby? I think he did.
It's been so long ago, he can't remember.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I just want to make sure I get my facts straight. Yes. Okay. Yay. I remembered. Cool. Nice. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks, everyone, again, for tuning in, whether you are tuning in via Twitch or via download through iTunes or whatnot. I will be working on getting the feed fixed this weekend, making sure that whatever issue is causing iTunes to not properly get our podcast in the search results for whenever you search Halo Podcast for some reason, and trying to figure out what's going on with the feed and whatnot. And I know some people have said there have been issues in the past. Just want to try to get those worked out. We're going to switch over to a different podcasting plugin and hopefully get some of those things fixed so we can get back and fix our listing in the iTunes store. Also get our podcast submitted over to the Google Play store and try to figure out how to get it properly listed in Zune.
It's not Zune anymore.
Or Xbox Music.
No, it's Groove. I lost track of what Microsoft is doing. I don't even use their podcast app anymore. I actually found one that I had to type it, use the RSS feed, but it'll still auto-download the podcast.
Okay. However, we can get it to work on Windows somehow. I don't know. It would be nice to find someone to talk to about the Groove integration and figure out how to actually get that to work. So I don't know.
I think maybe it's more a broken application than it is you or your feed. I did at one time. This is when I had my previous phone. I contacted Microsoft and asked them why I couldn't find it, and they basically said that they have a separate library for the newer phones, and it just hasn't made it in there yet for some odd reason.
Okay.
I don't know why. All right.
Whatever.
Maybe your new podcast feed plugin will cause it to show up. It was there for a little while, so I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's the feed's broken for it or if the application is broken. So
you know, no say. But we'll try to get it figured out this weekend. That's for sure. So make sure you check us out on Twitch when we record Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We also do Friday night game nights with Mr. Godzilla T. And he's hosting those and holding down the fort with those. And he also does the Achieving Halo series, which I believe you were supposed to record one last weekend, if I remember correctly.
I was supposed to, but unfortunately, nobody was available.
Oh.
So we're still looking for people to join in for the Achieving Halo series. Basically, want three people per level. If you have already appeared in one of the episodes, you're more than welcome to contact me. And if I need a spot to fill, I will gladly welcome you in. So
I will put out a tweet about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we are doing Halo 5. And I believe, let's see, we just got done with Glass. So we'll be doing the hub mission and the following mission after that.
And mix them two together.
Yeah, I don't really makes sense. The hub mission warrants its own video.
Yeah, they're pretty short. Well, I mean, it technically would get us more views if we did it separately. I mean, I know we're not that kind of a channel, but I'm just thinking out loud.
Clickbait. Oh,
well, you know, if we want to grow the channel, anyways.
Well, I you know, there are morals involved there, so.
So, yes.
Well, let me know, guys. If you want the hub mission on its own video, let me know. And we'll post it that way. If not, I'll put it with the other one.
There you go.
If you want a video on just the hub mission.
Alrighty. So, again, that's going to be on Saturdays when those are recorded, if you are interested. Again, message Godzilla T. Spartan Company members take priority over general community members. So, make sure you are part of the company. I believe we actually only have two slots left in the company, so pruning will be happening very soon. If there's anyone in the company that hasn't been playing Halo over the past month or two, then you're going to get whacked. So, hate to break it to you, but that's just how it's going to be. So make sure you're at least playing. You don't necessarily have to join all the events, but just make sure you're playing Halo on a regular basis. So that way, at least it shows us that you are still interested in playing the game and we're still working towards the armor. I think we still have 10 commendations left for the armor set. We still got quite a bit, but we do have that to work on. So you can also check us out on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, which I posted some things from SECC on. We also have our YouTube channel, which is where you can find our Achieving Halo and a few other videos that we have. You can also check out Godzilla T's videos. Did you post a Hunt for Junk this week?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Episode 14.
I must have missed it. I must have missed it in my subscriptions. But yes, Godzilla T does his Hunt for Junk every week, which he is onto he's graduated to the gold pack level. Yay.
Yay.
All gold packs.
I don't know that I'll be able to get one out. Kind of all depends on when this comes out. The first week of August, because the week we're recording this podcast, has been the week from hell for me when it comes to free time.
Yeah, those weeks suck.
Yeah, but definitely, I do try to get one out every week. If not, I'll skip a week and I'll combine the next one. It's really, I open about 30 packs every week. So, you know, for those of you that think that, you know, you've got to play a lot of Halo to get wreck, you really don't. I don't put that, you know, I'm not saying this because I don't love the game, but I don't put a lot of time into Halo for my wreck. I don't put a lot of my time playing Halo into earning wreck. Now, pretty much you earn wreck no matter what you do, but you know, you can focus on earning rec by playing the Warzone variants. Assault and Firefight are good places to earn rec points. On average, you can earn anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 rec points per game. If you have boosts, you can increase that significantly. There's been several games I've gotten 4,000 plus with a rec boost. So
nice.
Yeah, if you guys are looking for rec and you don't want to spend money on it, which I totally understand, yeah, that's the best way to do it. And you'll be surprised at how little time is required just to get a gold pack. Usually anywhere from 4 to 5 games in a row, or, well, a night, and you've got yourself a gold pack. If you're, you know, not ready for gold packs, then that's a whole bunch of bronze.
And silvers.
And silvers. So get out there and play.
What he said. So that's all of our social media. You can also check out the podcast network. We're part of a collection of gaming-specific podcasts, including Critzcast, Guardian Radio, and The Learning Cliff, which are Team Fortress 2, Destiny, and EVE Online, respectively. And then there's two other podcasts over there, Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. So you can find them over at thepodcast.com, which is with a K instead of a C, or you can just do podka.st, and that will also take you to the podcast network and the other podcasts on that network. There is supposed to be a split off for Critzcast to do an Overwatch show, but it doesn't seem like that ever came through. Because checking the network, there isn't another podcast on the network. So I guess that never happened. So, and honestly, I've been bad about listening to podcasts because ever since I sent my motherboard in to get replaced, I haven't listened to any podcasts. So I'm really behind and I still haven't put it together yet.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
It's still sitting on the floor. That might be a weekend project.
Maybe you can set an hour aside to at least assemble the parts.
So the motherboard's in there. It's just everything else isn't.
Like I said, you know, just put aside an hour and
yeah,
assemble it. And then you put your copy of Windows on it and just, you know, let it run for a while.
Yeah, install all the software and all the updates and yada, yada, yada. That whole thing
actually
again.
I just updated my server to Windows 10 and it actually didn't take that long to install it with the update, or install Windows and then the updates. So,
but it still takes a while to get everything set up, get all the settings changed, get all the apps and games installed, and get all those configured.
If I have to rebuild my desktop, it is 8 hours just installing programs.
Yeah. Yep. Undoubtedly it takes a while. So I get to look forward to that at some point when I decide to get my button gear. Because right now that sits in front of my receiver. So whenever I have to change something on the receiver, I have to hold the remote really high and then point it down. so it gets the signal.
That's like when I'm watching TV and the dog's walking around in front of the TV. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Pick a spot, please.
Right. So that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Again, thanks for everyone tuning into the chat. And for those who won the codes tonight, again, if you can make it to the streams on Thursday nights, we like to give stuff out when we have a good number of people in the chat or we have some good discussions. And we've actually had some pretty good discussion going on tonight, which is why we gave some codes out. And we got some help from the chat, too, which was awesome. So thank you, everyone, for participating in that. We really appreciate it. We appreciate everyone listening to the show. Please give us drop us a line on Twitter or Facebook, or via submissions, let us know how we're doing. We're going to be putting out a survey here pretty soon, actually, asking for feedback with the show and some things that you would like to see us do with either the community or the site or the Spartan Company or the podcast and all that stuff. It'll primarily help me gauge where I need to focus my effort, because I'm making a big push for Podtacular this coming month, since I have no conventions in the month of August, which will be a nice break for a change. So kind of refocusing on some priorities to get Podtacular up to date in certain areas one of which is catching up on all the podcasts and all the photos. But making a big push for that in August. So thanks everyone for tuning in. We will see you again next week, again Thursdays at 9 on Twitch. And until then, keep on fragging Comic-Con exclusives. Or not Comic-Con exclusives, like the Boomco Blaster.